Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Today we're going to talk something about Disney history.
Yay.
If you didn't know, if you go to the search menu on your Disney Plus, there's actually a little section called Disney Through the Decades or Disney Decades or something like that. And it's a neat little way to look at all the old Disney cartoons. Like, they had a lot of shorts back in the day where Mickey got his start. And it has each of the feature films as well. And so we're going to spend some episodes talking about each of those decades. But we're going to start off with the 30s. Well, 20s and 30s is the first section.
Right.
So that's going to be our main subject. But every episode we start off talking about a little nerd thing that we've done.
Yes.
And this week I climbed up on the roof like a crazy person and strung our Christmas lights before the giant blizzard came.
Right. Not to be stereotypically Canadian, but it is the beginning of November and it is blizzarding right now.
Yeah, the snow has come and it feels like Christmas, so it was Christmas lights time.
Yeah, basically here, if you don't do it in October or very, very beginning of November, it's not getting done. I think my nerd thing is liking that you got up on the roof and didn't die doing it and strung the Christmas lights.
I'm a huge Christmas fan.
Nerd. I love Halloween, but the only thing I like more is Christmas. And I'm thinking I'm going to be getting the tree up here in the next couple days or so, I think. So
that sounds pretty nerdy.
Yeah, that is pretty nerdy. Mm. Especially all of our nerdy ornaments and stuff that get to go on it.
Well, and the other tradition we have here on Disney A is announcing what we're drinking for this particular episode.
Yes.
So, Krista, what are you drinking?
I am drinking, I don't remember if it was last episode or the episode before, I was drinking neutrals. I am drinking a neutral again. This one is an apple. It's, even though it's blizzarding, it's still pretty fall-like.
I think that's what you were drinking last time.
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
If we have apples, you don't like those ones. So
yeah, they're not great. I don't know.
So anyway,
neutrals are tasty, though. So
yes.
That's cool.
Vodka soda, apple. That's me.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I got a plain old gin and tonic.
Mm.
Yeah.
It seems kind of summery.
It is a little summery, but I was thirsty, so
okay.
There's water in tonic water.
Yeah, right.
So
yes,
good. It's good for you. Yeah. Health drink, really.
Right. It's like basically like a salad, what with the lemon in there.
Oh, yeah. It's so very healthy. Prevents scurvy and all sorts of good things.
Yep, health drink. Mm. And then the other thing that we're now doing at the top of every show, just because Mandalorian is on again, yay!
You betcha.
Is that we just watched the second episode, chapter 10, of season 2, and we're going to keep this fairly quick, fairly spoiler-free. We just like talking about our gut reactions to it. So, Brandon, what was your, you watched it, initial reaction?
It's going to be the first time I watched a Mandalorian episode and was disappointed, actually.
Okay.
There was a couple episodes last season that felt like they didn't move anything along, and this one was worse than that.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that the place they went was random, because if it wasn't random, it would have been weird the way the plot was.
Right.
But other than that, I was actually quite disappointed.
Yeah, I don't know if I was quite disappointed, but I was really pleased with the first episode, and this episode definitely, it was disappointing. There were some cool moments and everything, but overall, I was like, oh, okay, let's go on to the next episode now.
But last season, episode 2 was my least favorite, so it's only uphill from here, I'm
exactly,
sure.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, that brings us to today's news item. Disney A News Update. All right, so I actually have a couple of news items today. First of all, we were talking before about the nerd things we like was Christmas-focused. There's actually a new Everything Holidays section on the Disney Parks blog, and it includes live events, DIY, at-home Disney Magic moments, stories, mostly from the Walt Disney World Resort, since, you know, that's the one that's open right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And other Disney destinations around the world. It says there will also be a few surprises coming up. I'm hoping some recipes, things like that. So, that's kind of neat. I went on there, checked it out, downloaded a new phone wallpaper. Very festive.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that sounds like you.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other thing, so the reason I wanted two items is because the other item is actually more Walt Disney World focused. And that has to do with Epcot Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster.
Sweet.
Yep, called Cosmic Rewind. The new coaches were actually delivered in Florida like a day or two ago, just recently. Yeah.
And they posted on Twitter with a picture of one
Instagram.
Of the Imagineers doing their thing. Yeah.
So this
sweet.
Looks pretty cool. If you haven't seen, each car is individually designed with looking like that looks like it has wear and tear, and they actually modeled them after looking at NASA space shuttles after re-entry into Earth's atmosphere.
Cool.
And each one is a little distinct. They're blue and gold. They're designed to resemble Star-Lord's Milano, and it is the first Marvel-themed attraction at Walt Disney World.
Hopefully it doesn't look like a Jackson Pollock with a black light
on. That would be bad. So this one's going to be called a storytelling roller coaster. Again, hopefully not Jackson Pollock. And the original attraction was supposed to open in 2021 for the 50th anniversary, of course, you know.
Whoops.
Who the heck knows now? So we don't know if this is delayed. We know a lot of things are being delayed, but they haven't been specific as to what. However, if it is instead pushed to 2022, that would actually correspond with Epcot's 40th anniversary. So a lot of people are thinking, hey, maybe they're there for that.
Yeah, okay.
But these cars look pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
And either way, that's going to be pretty awesome, I think.
Okay, and of course, the biggest news item of the week is there's going to be a new president in the United States.
Yes, that isn't a Disney news item.
It is not,
but it's related.
It's pretty big news. Mm-hmm. It'll be nice for us as Canadians to have someone there that's not so anti-Canadian. And maybe if they can get this whole COVID thing under control, we can actually go visit Disneyland.
Yeah, I'd be a lot more comfortable going into the States if, like, of course, when they open the border again under these circumstances would be nice.
But yes, we would be remiss to not mention that.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that brings us, that's a lot of news today.
It is a lot of news.
And that big news, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that brings us to our main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
So you mentioned at the top of the show about the collection categories on Disney Plus, about the decades. I just wanted to explain how this started. When we first got Disney Plus, I had it in my head I was going to watch every single thing on there in order of release. That was a crazy idea.
Well, you did pretty well, except they started adding things.
Exactly. So I had to keep going back.
It was complicated, but you've done pretty well.
Yeah, I did all right. So then we switched it to animated features. But prior to that, we had watched and rewatched all of the first cartoons in the first couple decades, including, and it starts with the 1920s and 1930s.
Early days of Disney.
Exactly.
Thinking Steamboat Willie.
Yeah. So it was really cool to go back and watch these things. And I had forgotten just how many awesome little short cartoons Disney had out that are old.
They had a lot of fun back then. Like, they just had random stuff.
I think they just played, basically.
Yeah, they were playing.
Yeah. So I've got a few notables here. Kind of organized it into the short cartoons, and then we'll talk about the feature film that was released in the 30s, which is, of course, Snow White. So, first of all, the biggest notable was Steamboat Willie.
Yep. Obviously.
So, it says the 20s and 30s because the late 20s, Steamboat Willie would be the earliest thing on there, and that one was released in 1928. Of course, very famous. It was the first Mickey Mouse cartoon released.
Released. Not made.
No, it was not the first one made. What was the first one made?
That's not in your trivia?
Nope.
Oh. It was a silent one.
Yes, it was.
That was the problem.
Yes, it was.
Well, some of the problem.
Yeah. It was Plain Crazy.
Right.
Yeah, and that was actually made just before Steamboat Willie, but then he couldn't get a distributor, released Steamboat Willie, and then all of a sudden people wanted to pick up Plain Crazy after that because of the enormous success of Steamboat Willie. So they added sound to Plain Crazy and then re-released it. So some people there's some conjecture over what the first Mickey Mouse cartoon is because of that. But yeah, Steamboat Willie was the first one released. First cartoon ever released with synchronized sound. And also right from the beginning, we had Pete and Minnie introduced to us as well.
You need supporting characters.
Yeah, exactly. So Plain Crazy though is not on Disney Plus.
All right. Yes.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah, they keep adding all these different ones.
It's a drip feed because they need you to keep subscribing. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's working for us.
and old COVID has slowed down their production of originals. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'll go back and watch all those cartoons. The big thing from the 20s and 30s would be probably the Silly Symphonies, I think.
Yeah, Silly Symphonies, they were cutting their teeth as an animation studio on the Silly Symphonies. So that was the big one. And then you, of course, had your Mickey cartoons all leading up to Snow White in 1937.
Right. So do you want to talk Silly Symphonies first?
Why don't we do it this way?
Okay.
Let's talk Silly Symphonies, and we can pick our favorite out of the Silly Symphonies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk about Mickey Mouse and pick our favorite Mickey Mouse. And then we can finish her all up by talking about Snow White. And then maybe picking our favorite dwarf.
All the dwarves are awesome.
They are.
But if we have to pick a favorite, I can probably pick a favorite.
Yeah, okay. Sounds
and
like
I know
plan.
You can pick a favorite.
Yeah, I can definitely pick a favorite.
Okay, well, let's talk Silly Symphonies first then.
Okay.
So, there are 75 of them in all. I actually had to look that up because I didn't know.
That's more than I would have guessed.
Right? 75. That's a huge amount. They're not all on Disney Plus, but like we said, they're dropping new ones. Well, re-dropping old ones. Newly on there all the time.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all there. They're going to come in and out of the Disney vault.
Exactly. But they made 75 of these only from 1929 to 1939. That's it.
They are busy.
Yeah, so if you want to watch Silly Symphonies, there's all in that one decade on Disney Plus. And they're all short musicals. They all have music in them. Generally, they were independent stories and characters, like the Mickey cartoons. You had interwoven stories. All these ones kind of stood alone. There's a few exceptions, mostly like the Three Little Pigs had a couple sequels. Tortoise and the Hare had a couple sequels. Yeah.
A couple recurring, but it was like separate from the Mickey universe with Donald and Goofy and stuff like that. Yeah.
Exactly. So the very first Silly Symphony... Remember when we were talking Halloween?
You're busting through all possible trivia.
No, I've got my possible trivia for you.
So I don't know any of these things, so it's going to be a tough trivia week, I think.
I'm going to catch you. You asked me Star Wars last time, so this is your own fault. Okay, so the very first Silly Symphony, back when we were talking the Halloween episode a couple weeks ago, you asked about the Skeleton Dance. That was actually the very first Silly Symphony ever made.
Cool.
Yeah, it was made.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it was so good. 1929. It's awesome.
Very 20s animation style.
Yeah.
They evolve from there, but I like it.
And watching those early ones, which are fantastic in and of themselves, watching through the decade, the changes and growth that they had in these that is evident in these cartoons is crazy.
Yeah, they made each one with a purpose to try something.
Exactly.
So they were just working on their craft.
Yeah. And so then I've got another couple notable Silly Symphonies for you. In 1932, Flowers and Trees was released. And that is when the Academy Awards, it was the very first time they gave an award for Best Animated Short, which Flowers and Trees won.
Hmm. Yeah, so back then the Oscars had a lot of random categories. They had like best child actor and stuff. It was a little different time, but bringing in that, and it lasts till this day. So
yeah, that one. So that's kind of cool. They won the inaugural one, and that one like broke all these barriers. Basically, it was the first film to be produced in three strip Technicolor, but then. With Academy Awards, basically, they won almost every year after that with the Silly Symphonies.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough to bet against Disney in the animated category.
Even now.
Even now, I mean, animated shorts is a pretty competitive category these days, so.
Yeah, but it never would have been if these guys hadn't laid the way for them. So, 1932 with Flowers and Trees, 1933 was Three Little Pigs, that one. Won the Oscar. The Grasshopper and the Ants, which we talked about in our Thanksgiving episode, it was 1934. That one, actually, we just rewatched a Mickey Mouse cartoon here a little bit ago, and Goofy starts singing The World Owes Me a Livin', and that is actually the song the Grasshopper sings in The Grasshopper and the Ants, and that's because Pinto Colvig did the voice of Goofy and also the Grasshopper. Other ones that won the Academy Award, basically it was every year, because in 1935, the Tortoise and the Hare won. when we were talking favorite things in Disneyland. We talked a lot about Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
And yeah, if there's familiar looking girl bunnies or Toby Tortoise, those guys show up in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, those are good Easter eggs from Roger Rabbit for sure.
And then another good Easter egg is, I'm going to jump down to 1939, The Ugly Duckling came out. Yeah. And that was another Academy Award winner.
And going through this list, I was absolutely shocked that The Ugly Duckling was from the 30s.
Right?
Like you compare the animation from that the skeleton dance to The Ugly Duckling.
10 years.
10 years. Yeah. And it's night and day.
It's crazy. They actually did two Silly Symphonies based on The Ugly Duckling. The first one was in 1931. That one's not on Disney Plus. This one though is, and really they made the right choices to which one to put on. But this one, we're talking Easter eggs, there's a book that Stitch and Lilo and Stitch reads, and it's The Ugly Duckling, and it inspires him to like be a better alien and look for his family
because he's an ugly duckling.
Because he's an ugly duckling, and
that's a cool Easter egg.
Yeah, it's really good.
I did not know.
Yeah, well, see, you're like, what am I going to ask you for trivia?
I am a little nervous about the trivia.
I was like, these are all too easy. I won't ask these.
Well, you didn't know the name of the ship for Boba Fett, so
that's true because nobody knows that.
Everybody knows
But backtracking to another Academy Award winner, The Old Mill. Holy smokes, this is a type of crazy animation.
If you keep talking about all these silly symphonies, it's going to kind of overlap on what I talk about when I pick a favorite.
Well, basically, there's so many good ones. That one was the first use of the multiplane camera, and it won all these awards. I've got one more specific silly symphony.
Okay.
And that is The Golden Touch, 1935.
Ah.
This one didn't win awards.
No.
This one was the last cartoon that Disney himself directed. He hadn't directed in 5 years, and he considered it, he watched it when it was done, and he was so disappointed in it. He said it was stiff, pacing was weird, and he never directed a cartoon again.
Yeah, maybe directing is just not his thing.
Yeah, so he just produced everything
else. Idea man.
Idea man, yeah. He
much like, I would say, George Lucas. Idea man.
Oh, yeah. Nice, yeah. Cool. All right, so now there's a lot of trivia, I took all the trivia questions, a lot of specific silly symphonies I was talking about there. So I want to know, before I've got a couple more pieces on silly symphonies here, what's your favorite one?
Oh, I'm going to go first?
You're going to go first, because I know mine. So.
Well, yes, of course you know yours. That's.
But I want to know what yours is.
Well, okay, so my favorite silly symphony, and it was quite difficult to choose.
There are so many good ones.
I really like the grasshopper one,
yes.
And I really like the Three Little Pigs, and I really like the Skeleton Dance, but my favorite is the Old Mill.
Really?
Yes. It has absolutely no dialogue.
No.
And you're relying completely on the score and the sound effects the whole time, but the animation is just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And there's a reason it won all those awards.
Can you believe that came out in 1937?
No.
That's insane.
It is absolutely crazy. It came out the same year as Snow White, actually.
Oh.
They had a big year that year.
Apparently.
Maybe it came out with Snow White. Like,
oh, that's
in
good...
front of it. I don't know. Anyway. Anyway, it builds a mood, and it's beautiful.
It really is.
Yeah.
That shocks me that was your favorite. I mean, it's fantastic, and I know you really appreciate like good storytelling and just good film in general, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, but there are so many good ones in there.
It is a tough choice.
I mean, I was looking, I was like, even Ferdinand the Bull was
in
there.
I love Ferdinand.
I have a question for you. I want to know if you can guess what my favorite silly symphony is out of all those good ones.
No. Okay. Three Little Pigs?
Oh, excellent. Excellent guess.
You do like pigs?
I do like pigs. That's a good guess.
That's the only reason.
I love the Three Little Pigs. I gotta go Ugly Duckling.
Okay.
I can't watch it without crying. Like, it is beautifully done. Well, I guess there's not really talking. There's a lot of quacking.
That
and honking.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good message for kids because it always gets better.
Yeah, it does.
Everything
it does
gets better.
Yeah. It's done very classic Disney way. You know, they took it's watching it as an adult, I was like, wow, this is actually kind of upsetting as a kid watching this and stuff. But that was kind of what the point was. It's not as upsetting as the original story of The Ugly Duckling.
Much like every single fairy tale that Disney adapts.
They didn't sugarcoat. Like, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. Like, bad things happen, but things get better. It's beautifully animated. The sound is great. I love, love, love that story. Yeah, so Excellent. Ugly Duckling's my favorite. So, Silly Symphony is actually tied with Hanna-Barbera's Tom and Jerry series for the most Oscar wins for a cartoon series.
Huh. Tom and Jerry, winners.
Right?
That's...
It was a weird time in film.
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't know why I didn't figure this out before. I feel kind of silly and dumb for not figuring out. It was the inspiration for things like Looney Tunes. Like, Silly Symphonies. Yes. Merry Melodies. Like,
yes. Looney Tunes was... obviously a direct it was a parody satire
even
of,
the name
yes and that's why it's awesome.
Yeah,
I love Looney Tunes.
Yeah, it's fantastic. All right, so that brings me to the end of the Silly Symphonies.
So then, do you want to talk about your old Mickey Mouse?
Oh yeah,
it's me, Mickey Mouse.
Yes,
that's the best. That's fantastic.
Good job. Absolutely. We talked a little bit about Playing Crazy already.
Okay.
Yeah. So Mickey Mouse shorts started in 1928. Now, they didn't finish in the 30s. They continued on, and then there was a break, and then they can start it up again recently because we've got new Mickey Mouse cartoons now.
And a whole new Mickey series, brand new on Disney Plus, like this month.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
We should... Oh, no. Should we jump ahead and watch those? Let's go from the 30s to the new one.
And I think the new Disney Plus series is kind of a similar style to the new ride that they are releasing that opened in Florida and they're building in California.
The
right
Runaway
now.
The Runaway Railway.
Say that three times fast.
Mickey Mouse basically was a series of cartoons. You all like the Fab Five was introduced, gained, and then they ended
the
up
Beatles?
Having their own. Yes, exactly. Donald, Goofy,
Daisy. That would have been really weird.
So this started in 1928 when Steamboat Willie basically really focused on sound synchronization and character animation to begin with. But here's a fun fact for you.
Oh.
Originally, they were released in theaters before feature films. And starting in 1929, some theaters would exclusively show Mickey cartoons for children, and they nicknamed it the Mickey Mouse Club.
Ah.
Ah, clever name. Still there.
M-I-C-K-E-Y. Yeah.
M-O-U-S-E.
Oh, dear.
So there's so many great ones on there. And eventually then the other characters like Donald and Goofy specifically later on, like in the late 30s into the 40s, got their own series as well. But we're just kind of focusing for favorites on Mickey Mouse.
Right. And like they were just like supporting characters in his,
exactly.
in his cartoons at
exactly.
this point.
Yeah. Like, they got spinoff series later.
Yeah. Spinoffs. So... As far as trivia goes, do you know why Donald doesn't wear pants?
No.
Neither do I. It's really weird.
You know what one really gets me? Donald doesn't wear pants. When he gets out of the shower bathtub, he wraps a towel around his chest.
Yes. Well, no.
Around his waist.
Around his waist.
Instead of around his chest.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange.
I don't understand. I always figure there's like a little meme thing going around with Mickey and Donald looking in a window and it's a whole suit and they figure they're broke animals in the 30s, so they're just going to split the outfit 50-50.
Right. And of course, you also have the meme of Mickey Mouse in a full sweater, romper style thing and he sees Winnie the Pooh. Classic Winnie the Pooh
right.
with no clothes,
yeah.
and so he cuts off the top half and gives it to.
Aww, gives, yes, I like that.
Gives Pooh his red sweater.
Aww, I like that.
Yeah.
That
was cute.
Aww. Okay. Let's. What's your favorite Mickey Mouse?
Well, I went first on the Silly Symphony, so
okay.
I'm gonna make you go first on your favorite Mickey Mouse.
So I was really torn on this one.
Mm-hmm.
When in doubt, I have to go with the original because the other ones wouldn't have come along that I also love if this one had started.
So you're going with Oswald the Rabbit.
I'm going with Steamboat Willie.
Oh,
poor Oswald. I'm going to go Steamboat Willie. I love Steamboat Willie. It is fun to watch now. Kind of boggles my mind that they did something that's still fun to watch now to, like, invent something.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It is, like, yeah. Historical.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably in the Smithsonian.
I'm sure it is. And, of course, like, I have a deep love of Minnie Mouse.
Mm.
And I like that she shows up and she's her feisty little self. And, yeah. I'm a fan of Steamboat Willie. It's just set the tone for everything else. It's just fun. It's silly. It is, yeah, everything a cartoon should be.
Nice.
And it stands the test now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you can buy Steamboat Willie merch.
You just got me a Steamboat Willie Lego set that I'm excited to play with.
Lego set, Loungefly bags, vinyl. Ooh. Pop, Funko Pops.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's a big thing.
I kind of want a Steamboat Willie Loungefly bag.
Yeah, of course you do. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Well, I'm not gonna go back that far.
Okay.
I mean, I felt that one went without saying, but
right.
Apparently you didn't, so.
Well, I was gonna do it without saying, but otherwise I couldn't choose.
Oh. Well, I'm gonna go to one that it might not be the best one,
mm-hmm.
but it was a personal favorite of mine when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We had some bootleg VHS's recorded from a satellite dish back in the day, and I watched this one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was like with Lambert the Sheepish
Lion.
Oh,
I loved Lambert the Sheepish Lion.
All this stuff. So it's The Brave Little Tailor.
So good.
I remember Mickey killing those flies and getting all excited about it, and then you have that like dramatic irony of that mistake, that
yes.
mess up, and it's just really funny. I thought it was
hilarious.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious, and like this whole miscommunication thing, and then he's like on this death-defying quest. And I also really like the setting.
Yes,
the fantasy setting. I grew up on The Hobbit, and it kind of tied into that for me as well. So, it's a pretty simple cartoon. It's short, like all these are,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't do a whole lot, but I really enjoyed it.
That's a great choice. Do you know I have Mickey mini ears that are like her princess hat? They're tall.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
princess
yeah.
Hat.
Yeah.
Like I always loved that one too. It's so good.
Yeah, it's fun, and they make a mini Disneyland with the giant as the power source.
Exactly.
At the end, so hey, that's cool.
Yeah, Disney was looking into the future there. <I guess. laughs> Oh, that's a really good choice.
Yeah.
There's so many good ones on there.
Oh, there is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we just flipped on one that we couldn't remember having watched.
Yeah, it's like called On Ice.
And it looked wintry, so we watched it.
Because Blizzard.
They're all playing on this frozen pond, and hijinks ensue, and it was just really adorable.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my problem. I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, no, this is my favorite. Oh, wait, no, this is my favorite. Like, I remember the clock cleaners one, and I remember the Lonesome Ghost. Anyway, there's so many good ones. There's no way, like,
yeah.
good job choosing, because I had no luck.
The one thing that did strike me with these old cartoons is the ubiquitousness of tobacco use.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was like all of them.
Wow.
Yeah, even on ice, Goofy gives tobacco.
Goofy
to
tries to fish with chewing tobacco. He gives the fish chewing tobacco and then puts a spittoon for them to spit in. Okay.
It was really
Can you
funny.
Imagine?
like nowadays?
Oh That's my goodness. They can't even get away with that in like an adult movie like not adult movies
right.
But like rated R things, like oh tobacco, like
yeah,
it's crazy.
And Brave Little Tailor, the giant rolls up a haystack.
Yeah, he makes a home rolled smoke with Mickey in it.
Yes, yeah, that's crazy.
It is just different time.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. So many good ones. I kind of want to watch them all again now.
Yeah,
but
of
they'll
course.
Add more.
Of course.
All right. So the big thing that came out in the 30s was Snow White.
Snow White.
Yeah. 1937 it was released. Like you said, that was the same year as The Old Mill.
The Old Mill. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was obviously broke all these boundaries. It was the first full length animated Disney feature film.
Right. Well, everyone thought Walt was insane.
Absolutely crazy.
To try, like, it was expensive to make cartoons back then. That's why they were 9 minutes long.
Exactly.
Not an hour and a half.
To be fair, so everyone nicknamed this Walt's Folly.
Yeah.
This was the first one, because then again, they did the same thing with Disneyland.
Yeah. Well, he's a bit of a nutter.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what you got to do when you're breaking boundaries.
Yeah, there's a fine line between insanity and genius.
Yeah, and I think he walked that line.
He walked it.
I mean, Roy and Lillian, so his brother and his wife, always, you know, they were his big support, and they kind of did all the things together. But he, like, had to convince them. And I'm not sure that he fully convinced them until it was well underway. I think he just did it.
Well, Roy was the accountant.
Yes, and Lillian might have had something to say, because did you know Walt actually mortgaged their house to pay for Snow White?
Whoops.
Can't imagine why Lillian might have had something to say about this.
That seems pretty risky. That seems pretty risky.
But it worked out.
Yeah.
When it premiered at the Carthay Circle.
I mean, obviously it worked out.
Obviously, yeah, we're talking about it now. When it premiered at the Carthay Circle Theater in LA, which we just talked about in our last episode about California Adventure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a standing ovation, like, immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Also,
they did that at movies a lot more often
back then. But it was like for this thing that nobody knew if it was going to work. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And they had, of course, all these stars.
Would also walk out of movies a lot more often back then too. So.
That's also true. Adjusted for inflation, it's actually one of the top 10 performers in the North American box office and is the highest grossing animated film. So this is not your trivia.
Adjusted for inflation.
Adjusted for inflation. It is also the oldest film on the list. Gone with the Wind is the next oldest film. It was it's 2 years younger, but it's actually like the highest ranking box office.
If you would adjust for inflation, Gone with the Wind made a mind-boggling amount of money.
Yeah.
But it was also in theaters for like 20 years.
It's also true, yeah. Snow White, it was nominated for Best Musical Score in 1938, and the next year, Walt Disney. There's this famous picture with the Oscar and then the 7 little Oscars. Yeah, it was a special one made just for him, basically like a category doesn't exist to like say good job for this.
Right.
So in 1939 at those Oscars, he was presented by the special one by Shirley Temple, actually. Yes.
One of the ones who won a lot of child actor Oscars. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And in 1989, it was the first time the USA Library Congress selected films for preservation in the National Film Registry. Basically, they said these movies are important. They're significant. They are important culturally.
They are art.
They are, exactly.
Yes.
They need to preserve these for history. And in that grouping of the first 25 ones that were chosen, this one was in there.
Oh, interesting.
So basically, when you said this is a historical
landmark,
it actually is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been recognized as such.
I was talking about Steamboat Willie.
Oh, yes. But well, this one is too.
This is the next step.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, it was development began in 1934 and was announced the same year, and everyone was like, you're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But then he did it. 1937, it came out. It cost a lot more than what he estimated.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Of course, he had no frame of reference.
Yes.
Right? He thought it was going to cost $250,000 and ended up costing almost $1.5 million, which is insane for a movie back then.
That's a lot of money back then.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's crazy. So we are going to talk about the dwarfs.
Well, before we get to the dwarfs, you said frame of reference.
Mm-hmm.
I found it really super interesting that they had like models act out the scenes.
Yep.
And they have videos of this where you can have a side-by-side comparison of the animation and the actors doing their whole, the whole scene. And it is fascinating.
It is. So they're actually, the two that people, of course, are going to focus on are the title character, Snow White.
Yes.
And there are actually two Snow Whites. One was the voice and one was the physical model.
Yeah.
And Marge Champion was the physical model. She was a dancer. She worked for the Disney company from the time she was like 14 years old or something like that. And when Snow White was released, she was 18, and then she was actually also used for the Blue Fairy and Pinocchio, and you know Fantasia, the hippopotamus?
Oh, yes.
Hippopotami. that our ballerinas, she was that too.
Ah.
But
slightly different.
A little bit different. Yeah. I did not look like a hippopotamus at all.
No.
But she made news recently in late October on the 21st. She passed away.
Yes.
And she was 101 years old.
That's a pretty good life
living
there.
Living to 101 years old? Man. I guess you have to be like a dancer, athlete.
I'm not going to make it. I'm going to have a few more of these gin and tonics.
And then Adriana Caselotti was Snow White's voice. She After that, she kind of had trouble ever working again. She is only known for really two very, very small, like, one-liners in both Wizard of Oz and It's a Wonderful Life.
Interesting.
Yeah, she has one line in the song, If I Only Had a Heart.
Hmm.
Yeah. And she was the first female voice actor ever named a Disney legend. And then she actually got to reprise her role of Snow White again for The Voice. In the early 90s, when Disneyland refurbished the Snow White area, then there was the Wishing Well. She got to voice the voice in the Wishing Well. She was 75 years old then.
Surprising her voice held out for that.
Have you ever gone and no. listened? It sounds, I thought they used a film clip, actually.
I would probably not be going to the Wishing Well in Disneyland.
I've definitely done that.
I would be going to a roller coaster.
Oh, no, the Wishing Well is nice, though. You make a wish.
I wish and they talk I'm on the roller coaster. Oh, I'll just do that. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so it was like crazy animation. Yeah, and the voice acting was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Of the other animation, when it started, though, Walt was like, we're going to focus on the dwarves.
Right.
It fit the most with the cartoons he was doing at the time.
Well, I think with animation, you need some like outlandish characters.
Right.
So it would make sense to me that you'd want to focus on these dwarves with their specific personalities
exactly.
that they're named after.
Yeah.
Instead of like this bland little pretty princess
yeah.
person.
And she is kind of bland.
Oh, you could name her. Well, her name is Snow White because her skin is white as
yeah.
snow. That, ooh, okay. Let's just name her pants. Because
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Yeah, I mean, she's the original Disney princess, so, you know, hats off to her, but she doesn't really do anything. Except
she eats an apple.
Yeah.
Oh, she can bake pie.
That's true. It's very important. Gooseberry pie.
Gooseberry pie, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So she's the youngest Disney princess. It's believed she's 14, even though it never really says that anywhere in the film, so I'm not sure where that came from.
Yeah, that is a bit strange.
And then I was like, well, maybe it's the original Brothers Grimm story, but no, in the Brothers Grimm story, she's 7.
Oh, lovely.
That's not creepy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure where this 14 thing came from, but she's supposed
they
to
they just
look young.
Decided
yeah so that's yeah and she's kind of like there.
She's there.
She's girlish, she's sweet, she's kind, she's winsome,
she
and super passive,
magical powers to
bake pie,
communicate with forest
yeah,
creatures.
Yeah,
and,
that's a pretty good
force them to be her slave labor,
yeah.
stuff like that, yeah.
You know, there's always that thing, and it's like, Disney gives you unrealistic expectations for men as a woman. It's like, and then there's the response to that. It's like, no, I mostly just ticked off. Forest animals have never come and helped me clean the house before.
Yeah, it is unfortunate,
yeah. So it's understandable that instead Walt was like, hey, let's focus on the dwarfs.
Right.
Yeah.
But it works as an ensemble piece. You got,
it does.
You got the love story as it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really talk to each other.
No, but it is the first time, because the story had been retold a lot of times.
Of
this
course,
is the
yeah.
first time when Walt was like, you know what we should probably have the princess and the prince actually meet before the whole unconscious thing.
Yeah, but like, as a meet cute, it's leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
She runs away.
She does. And then she like stands there and grins at him while he sings at her.
Yeah. It's kind of awkward.
It is. But then again, he's not. I'm not sure what is great about him other than he's a prince. Just like, I'm not sure.
That
what's great
sounds
about her.
Pretty good to me. I mean,
well, she's a princess. Doesn't look like one,
she's,
I guess. When
she's an abused princess.
She really is.
So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Originally, Walt had like 50 names, or there was always going to be a Doc.
Mm-hmm.
But then other names: Jumpy, Deffy, Dizzy, Hickey. I am curious to see what this dwarf named Hickey would have looked like.
He really likes smooching.
Apparently. Wheezy. I guess that must have become Sneezy.
Wheezy? Yeah, Wheezy would have been a good name.
Baldy. Gabby, Nifty, Sniffy, Swift, Lazy, I guess Sleepy. Maybe
Sleepy,
lazy,
yeah.
Puffy, Stuffy, Tubby, Shorty, and Burpy.
Well, they took Tubby and renamed him Happy.
Yeah, Happy
because
is a
that
large
is a
dwarf.
That's a rotund fella. His butt takes up a whole barrel. That is a sizable rear end.
Yes, a sizable rear end. Yeah. So they actually had even fully animated scenes that have been shot and everything like that, that Walt was then like, nah, I'm going to take these out. Because after the film was underway.
I wonder why he went over budget.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure some animators are probably not very happy with this, because it's not like that was a quick thing to
you
make.
You think?
But afterwards, when he was putting it together, he's like, oh, we probably shouldn't just make a comedic thing about the dwarfs. And he decided instead to focus a little bit more on the Evil Queen.
That, I will say, the best character in this movie is the Evil Queen.
Totally.
She's not pants.
She's not pants.
She has emotions, mm-hmm. and the animation style, especially like her transformation.
Oh,
and,
that was really well done.
And her stalking through the fog and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a level above the rest of the animation.
Exactly.
In the movie.
The dwarfs are fun, but she's like, yeah, she has a completely different style to it. And by doing that, it made it a little bit more darker. So he said all these dwarf scenes just don't fit anymore. So he took it out. Probably a really good thing he did.
Mm.
And you were talking about him stalking through the fog. So, or her stalking through the fog. When Disney was getting his animators he was trying to inspire them, right? He said, you have to go watch all these different movies. He had them watch Romeo and Juliet, which you can see she's literally up in a balcony looking down,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stalking the Fog, though, he instructed them to watch Nosferatu.
I was going to say Nosferatu. I was going to say that. Yes.
Right? That,
very
like,
good.
Hunching kind.
Yes,
of,
very,
yeah,
Nosferatu, yes.
Yeah. And,
was,
yeah,
that one of the 25 films?
Nosferatu? I think it was.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Not sure. I looked at the list, but I'm pretty sure it was in the original batch.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then, it was a huge success immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
And he took the profits to finance a new studio in Burbank, and that is the same location the Walt Disney Studios is today.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, it really just, it could have made or break the Walt Disney Company.
Yeah, they were going bankrupt, or now we have the biggest movie company in the world.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Okay.
So that was a good, that was probably a good that he didn't listen to all the naysayers on that one.
Yep. Well, nothing risked, nothing gained, I suppose.
While we're talking about good things, it's probably good that the computer animated prequel in the 2000s didn't happen.
Oh. Yeah, the 2000s were a dark, dark time for Disney, so I would say a Snow White sequel, prequel, whatever, mm-hmm. the heck.
Yeah, probably good that didn't happen. It was well underway. It was called The Seven Dwarfs. It was announced. It was a whole thing.
Ugh.
And in 2006, Disney purchased Pixar, and John Lasseter became the new chief creative officer, and he said, heck no.
Yeah, that's
Let's
good.
Let's not do that.
That's excellent, yes. And Disney Animations has notably improved since then.
Yeah,
so
good.
Thanks, Pixar.
Yeah, made some good choices.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't, thank goodness. Yeah, it just cut down lots of other doors. It made Disney entirely more successful because of this one film.
Okay, so like you said, they were going to focus on the dwarves.
Yes.
They're still a really big part of
they
this
are.
Movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably see more of them than any other character except maybe the Evil Queen.
Well, those are the
these
best
days,
characters.
These days.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of dwarf merch,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So why don't you tell us which one of those seven dwarfs is your favorite?
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you when I wanted to know if you could guess my favorite Silly Symphony. Can you guess my favorite dwarf?
Well, before we rewatched it, I just went through the seven in my mind.
Yeah.
And I said Bashful.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking, it's either Bashful or Happy, but we're going to go with Bashful anyway.
That is a good choice because that is my favorite dwarf.
Yeah.
Is Bashful.
He is adorable.
He's adorable.
Yeah.
He just blushes all the time and stammers. And I think if I was one of the dwarfs, I would be Bashful.
Probably.
So he giggles and turns red.
You do blush quite easily.
I do. And I just love him. I think he's so cute and that he's the one who makes the most sense to his devotion to Snow White immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
The other ones are just like, oh, it's a princess. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Especially Doc. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think Doc is a nickname. He doesn't actually have a PhD.
Is that your...
I'm pretty sure.
Your educated guess on
I'm
that
one? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so I know. I love Bashful. Of course, that's my favorite. So cute. He's adorable.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
This may shock you,
mm-hmm.
But I seriously identify with Grumpy.
Wow, that is shocking.
Yeah.
No, it's not shocking. No.
I don't know. Grumpy gets a bad rap, but he doesn't like strangers in his house. That would make me grumpy, too. And he doesn't like being told what to do. Like, he's a grown man, just because he's short. You come into his house and you tell him to go wash his hands.
Well, like, she made him food.
Yeah, well,
he wants to eat the food.
Don't boss him around. Like, I don't know. I personally think that Grumpy's just a misunderstood introvert. And
well, maybe don't be living with six other dwarfs then, yeah, in the first place if you're an introvert.
I don't know. But I feel Grumpy, and he's really cool.
And he's a good piano player. Is that a piano organ there?
Yeah, his butt organ.
Yeah, it's butt organ.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool instrument. I don't know.
The butt organ?
But the thing about Grumpy that, like, is his most redeeming quality, besides mm-hmm. just being a misunderstood introvert,
okay,
is that once you are in his circle, he's very protective.
Ah.
And he's the first one to defend his brothers, and when the princess is in trouble, he actually is the one to act. Everyone else is all befuddled.
Well, they're confused because there's a bunch of birds tugging at their shirts
and
stuff.
He leaps into action and saves the day.
Yes, after like Sleepy figures out what it is, or Sneezy, or someone random was like, hey,
I don't know. Yeah, they're all confused. Grumpy is awesome, and he gets a bad rap.
He is probably now the most popular one.
Yeah, probably.
Right? It used to be Dopey. I think it's Grumpy now.
Yeah, Dopey.
Smartest one there.
Except for the whole key thing.
Yeah, except for the key thing. When he locks the vault and then hangs the key immediately beside the door. That's amazing. I love it.
And I will say their mining techniques are just highly really
suspect.
They're not very realistic.
That's the part of it that bugs you?
Yeah, actually. It's like
everything else is fine.
Just finding cut gems in a cave somewhere. Mm-hmm. Something weird is going on there. I don't know.
Maybe it's called living in a fairy tale.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Question for you. We were talking dwarves. The other great character would be the Evil Queen.
Mm-hmm.
The prince and princess in this movie are very meh.
Bleh.
Yeah. Like, a lot of people actually say that Snow White gives, like, it isn't a negative influence on young girls and things like that, but I mean, that's like most fairy tales, so
yeah,
you know. But as far as the Evil Queen goes, how, like, I think we'll probably one episode rank like villains and stuff like that, but how does she stand up as a villain nowadays? Like, would you say, yeah, no, she's pretty freaky?
Yeah, I was actually surprised at how good she is mm-hmm. as a character. I thought it was kind of going to be mostly bland, like this is a tech demo,
right,
back in the day, but no, she's pretty cool, especially when she casts her magic spell and becomes that evil old crone.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a great piece of animation that really did it. So they're actually, well, when they closed Disneyland, they were refurbing the Snow White Scary Adventure ride, and that one always got me when she's looking in the mirror and she turns around and she's the old crone. I was like, yeah, that's it's a pretty cool moment in film. And then
pretty spooky ride for the kiddies.
They actually had to add the word scary in there because they kept getting complaints about kids freaking out.
Excellent.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, the one that you touch the apple out front and then you get the cackle. It's a great witch's cackle. I'm a fan of a good villainous laugh. She's got a great one.
You gotta work on the laugh.
Yeah. Well, anything else to add about Snow White or Silly Symphonies or Old Mickey?
No, I think that does it for me. I was surprised that we were going to have enough to talk about from the 20s and 30s, but I think we've done it justice.
Yeah, the ones coming up, we'll focus more on like the feature films because there's more than one per decade.
There's gonna be a lot to talk about mm-hmm. in these coming decades.
Yeah,
for sure.
And some of them, I mean, man, once we get into the Disney Renaissance, we might have to do a couple episodes for one. But yeah, absolutely. So that brings us to trivia. Last week, you asked me some trivia.
I did.
I'm not very hopeful.
No.
Considering you already told me I got the one wrong.
Yes, you did.
Let's play the clip first of all
yep.
of what you asked and what I guessed.
What is the name of Boba Fett's ship?
I have no idea.
When was Boba Fett's first appearance?
The holiday special for Life Day. There's like a little cartoon that Mini Chewbacca's son watches.
Lumpy!
That Lumpy watches, and he's in there.
What character was Boba Fett supposed to be related to in George Lucas's original draft?
What? I don't know. Han Solo.
Be related to. Han Solo. You're guessing Han Solo.
Well, they like to shoot things.
And what was he, Han Solo's nephew? Or?
Han Solo's, like, cousin. I don't know. Okay, so how did I do?
All right, so you had absolutely no clue.
None whatsoever.
On what Boba Fett's ship's name was.
Right.
We had a little joke about that in reference to A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
In which the parents talk about the crossword puzzle.
And the Lone Ranger's nephew's horse.
Yeah. So anyway, besides the point, Boba Fett's ship is the Slave One.
That is not common knowledge.
It really is.
No,
but
for you.
Anyway. No can do on that one.
Uh-huh.
But
yes,
you were spot on Boba Fett's first appearance, which is a much tougher question.
No, it's not.
It's a bit of a trick question because everyone would have seen him in Empire Strikes Back, right, as his first live action appearance, but you were correct that he has a little animated bit on the holiday Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah, and like a little cartoon.
And that's where you see the forked gun that is featured so prominently in The Mandalorian as well.
Which, I didn't know that was the first time you saw the gun, so that makes sense.
The only time you saw the gun.
Right.
And finally, George Lucas's original plan for Boba Fett was actually to be Anakin Skywalker's brother.
That sounds stupid.
he did a lot of weird stuff. Thankfully, his wife was still around at this point and
stop it.
Did some hardcore editing.
Did she actually?
Oh yeah, she was his script editor until they got divorced, and
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There are all these cool stories about like the wives who end up like saving careers, basically.
Yes.
Stephen King's wife did his too, and look at Lillian behind Walt there and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, that means it's my turn to ask you. Are you scared?
Cool. I'm a little concerned, but yeah. You know what? If how bad you are at Star Wars trivia, it makes me fine being bad at your random questions.
Okay. Well, I stayed on theme with the 30s.
Yep.
Yeah, 20s and 30s.
Yeah, but just right up, like, that's my that's just my sweet spot, the 20s and 30s.
How about
my
this?
Decades.
All of the answers are different Silly Symphony cartoons.
Oh, goodness. Okay. there's only 75 of them. How
it's
hard
fine.
Could it
it's
be?
Fine. You'll be fine. Yeah. And I have three questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. Question number one. We're first introduced to Donald Duck in a Silly Symphony cartoon.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Which one?
The Ugly Duckling.
Okay.
It's not it.
If you think you know what it is, make sure you message us on social media or on our website or anything like that. We'll drop those at the end of the show.
That's I didn't know that. So
that cool. Donald, okay. All right. That'd be amazing if you were right then, wouldn't it?
Mm.
So we know Disney has a history with amazing music. Here's one for you. The first soundtrack to a movie ever released in America was actually Snow White. That's not your trivia.
Hmm.
But the first hit song by a Disney company was from a Silly Symphony.
Ah.
It's a good one.
Okay.
What was the Silly Symphony? Or alternatively, you can name the song.
I'm going to guess The Three Little Pigs.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know. Ah. I'm just guessing.
Okay. And last one.
Yeah.
Which one was the very last Silly Symphony in the series?
The Ugly Duckling.
Okay. So you got two Ugly Duckling guesses then.
Yes.
All right.
Maybe I should just say The Ugly Duckling for everything. Just like when you're playing Disney Trivial Pursuit.
The answer is always Dick Van Dyke.
Always Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke.
All right. Well, if you think Brandon is right for any or all of these, or if you have a different guess, that might be a better guess for one or two of these.
Could be some better guesses out there.
Make sure you message us and let us know what your guesses are.
Oh, apparently I have to read the outro this week.
Yeah.
I'm getting a pointed look. Very pointed. It almost looks like the Evil Queen.
It's true. There's a raised eyebrow and everything. Yeah.
Boy, did she have some eyebrows. My goodness.
Mine, like halfway down her face almost.
Yes. Oh. Okay.
She belonged on RuPaul.
Yeah. She would fit right in. Okay. So that's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who is responsible for our awesome custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can also find us on social media. Instagram at disneya.podcast, on Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneyapodcast. We love to hear from you. You can also find DisneyA episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts.
among all of them.
just all of them. So please review our podcasts on your favorite platform and subscribe. And if you know someone who might like us, please feel free to recommend us. We're trying to expand our reach, so that would help us a lot.
Yes.
Join us every Monday and next week when we go to At the Park.
Woo!
And we're going to chat all about food because it's...
Yes!
It's almost American Thanksgiving.
I know.
That's the best thing about being Canadian. You can celebrate Thanksgiving twice.
Exactly. So let's celebrate with some food.
We're a little early,
but we're going to dream about park food.
Okay. So I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
And until next time...
TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney, eh?